I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session of this church, I'd like to greet all mothers a very, very happy Mother's Day. Yes, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you many more years of mothering. Now, the subject this morning is the greatest earthly influencer. And of course, I'm talking about mother, the greatest earthly influencer, mother. Now, I think I could have told you this before, that when I was a kid, about 10, 11 years old or so, I was separated from mother, or mother was separated from us. Me and my younger siblings were separated from mother because our school was in town, and mother had to go and live in a little village in the countryside, in a little cottage, some distance away. Now, as of the day she left us, I tell you, I was really stricken with homesickness. Homesick for mother. Home was not home without mother. And then what I did was every Friday, now every week I was looking forward to Friday, because it was only during the weekend that I could stay with mother. So I was always looking forward to Friday. And when Friday came, you know, I would rush home, gobble down my lunch, and then very, very quickly I would run to the bus stop to catch a bus to be with mother. And the journey, well, it seemed to be a long journey, but to my young mind, actually it wasn't very, very far away, but to my young mind, it was quite far away. And sometimes I didn't have the patience to wait for the connecting bus. And so what I did would be to walk from the end of the first trip, walk quite a long distance along a very lonely road to where mother was. It was quite dangerous to do that. But, well, the interest of the need to be with mother was so great that I felt that it was not that dangerous. And so I longed to be with mother. And then on Sunday evening, the homesickness began again, because I had to go back to town to go back to school. And again, the cycle repeated. I mean, I was always looking forward to Friday. Now, home was not home without mother. Now, what did I miss most? Of course, I miss her presence. Now, can you think of your home without your mother? Yes, the thing that I think you would miss most, I think you younger people, would be the presence of mother. Now then, as you grow a little older, then you realize that actually what you miss most was the influence of mother. You really miss the influence of mother. Now listen to what some great men say about their mothers and about the influence their mothers had on them. I read to you some words of this man. He said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." His mother's prayers clung with him all the days of his life. Now, who spoke those words? Abraham Lincoln. Now, another great man said this, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Who said this? George Washington, the first American president. "There never was a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove and brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way." Who said those words? The seventh president of the U.S., of the USA, Andrew Jackson. Then I read you the words of Spurgeon. He said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." And then the words of this very famous man, "The future destiny of a child is always the work of the mother." Who said those words? Napoleon Bonaparte. So you see, all these great men attribute their success in life to the influence of the mother. Now, when senior pastor shares his testimony in regards to his spiritual upbringing, now whom does he talk more about, father or mother? I say you don't have to be a very discerning listener. You will realize that he talks a lot about his mother rather than his father. And I think, I dare say that he attributes his spiritual upbringing mainly to mother and not so much to father. Mother was a very, very great influence on him, even though he didn't have that influence of hers for many years, because mother passed away soon after he came out of his teens. Now then, in the sports field, whenever a champion becomes a champion, you know, the champion will pay tribute to mother. Inevitably, you will hear the champion say something like this: "Oh, I thank my mother for all that she did for me." Yes, and true. Mother was the one who did a lot for the great athlete. Mother was the one who sacrificed her sleep, sacrificed her energy, sacrificed her time to bring him to the training sessions. Early in the morning, at the break of dawn, she would be driving the son to the swimming pool for his training sessions. And then mother has been the greatest supporter of his, the greatest encourager of his, and mother has been the prime and faithful supporter of this great athlete. And invariably you hear the great athlete say this: "Thank you, mom, for all that you did for me. I love you." And he will say that. Yes, because he attributes his success to mother. So mothers, you are indeed the greatest influencer of your children. Did you realize that? You are the greatest influencer of your children. So what are you doing with your influence over your children? What are you doing with it? And you can influence your children for good or for bad. God has given you this very, very special gift called mothering. Yes, He has given you that special gift. And what is your foremost priority as a mother? Of course, you will say, "I want to provide for my children." That's good. "I want to make sure that my children have a good education." Very good. "I want to make sure that my children is healthy and strong." And that's, of course, very, very good. And then, "I want to make sure that my children socialize well and are not influenced by bad company." Of course, these are all very, very good desires to have. But I say, my dear friends, the most important thing is what the Word of God says. Yes, in regards to your relation to your child. The Word of God says this in Proverbs 22, verse 6: "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." My dear friends, that's the greatest and the most important thing. So mothers, take note. Today, on Mother's Day, Proverbs 22:6: "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Now I see here in Australia, parents transferring their Asian behavior when they emigrate to Australia. Yes, they bring their behavior here, and they want their children to excel in everything. So what do? They send their children to tuition on Saturdays and on Sundays. They send their children to all kinds of lessons. Yes, music lessons, football lessons, piano lessons, ballet lessons, all kinds of lessons. Yes, and indeed, my dear friends, many of them do not have spiritual interest at all for their children. Yes, sad to say. And then our kids club here has to compete with all these kind of activities during the weekends. That's why our attendance at the kids club has not been good. Very often I hear my wife calling mothers to bring their children to our kids club. And invariably I will hear this over the phone. I overhear what she says to her. And my wife will put it on speaker mode so I can hear what the mother at the other end is saying. And my wife will say, "Hey, can you bring your child? Today is kids club. Would you like to bring your child to our kids club today?" "So, oh, I'm sorry. My child is busy today." All right. Oh, my wife said, "Busy about what?" "In the morning, well, he's got tuition. He's got maths tuition, English tuition, you know, things like that." What about in the afternoon?" "Oh, in the afternoon, he's got swimming lesson." So, Saturday is all occupied. The child is not able to come to our kids club. Yes, I ask you, mothers, ask you, How much spiritual training do you give to your children? How much spiritual training are you giving to your children? When your children are still young, do you read to them Bible lessons more than you read fairy tales to them? Which one do you do more? And do you teach your children how to pray? Do you pray with them? Do you pray for them? I'm glad that some of you young ladies here are taking down notes. Remember this. Next time when you become a mother, remember some of these things that I'm saying today. And do you pray with them? And do you pray for them, as I said? Remember, my dear friends, you have a very, very great influence over them. Do you teach them the way of salvation? Do you teach them to trust in the Lord? Do you teach them to repent from their sins and to live in the way that pleases the Lord? And do you teach them to give God top priority? Do you teach them? Now, let's say on a Saturday, there are two competing activities. We have the kids' club here, and then your child is invited to a birthday party. Do you go to your child and say, all right, child, you decide where you want to go, birthday party or kids' club? What's the answer? You know the answer, right? Of course, you say. He will say, I want to go to the birthday party. That's very natural. My dear friends, do you give your child a choice? Or do you tell the child, my dear child, you go to the kids' club. And then you give a good explanation as to why your child should be going to the kids' club. And you try your very, very best to persuade him to go. And make him feel good that he should be going to the kids' club. My dear friends, do you do that? But my dear friends, yes, the best way to teach your children is to teach them by example. If you want to teach them priority, you have to teach them by example. Now, let's say on a Friday night, of course we have our prayer meeting here, but on a Friday night, let's say there's a very nice show on television, or somebody has invited you to a social gathering. Now, which one do you give priority to? The prayer meeting, or the social gathering, or the nice television show that is going to be on television? Now, which would you give priority to? My dear friends, if you set the wrong priority for yourself, then you cannot expect your child to have the right kind of priority. If you prefer to go to the social gathering, then you cannot insist on your child going to the kids' club. You can't. So, my dear friends, set the right priority and set it by example for your children to follow. Now, in the Word of God, we have this young pastor called Timothy, the spiritual son of the great apostle Paul. Now, who really molded the life of Timothy? Was it his father or was it his mother? All right, I'd like to read this for you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. 2 Timothy 1, 5 to 6. If you can, very quickly turn to these two verses. I'll read now for you. 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 6. Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, in other words, when I recall the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in whom? In your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So who was the one there who exerted influence on Timothy in spiritual matters? Who? My dear friends, it was not his father, but it was these two maternal figures, his grandmother Louise and his mother Eunice, not his father. Now, when your child grow up, my dear friends, can they look back and thank God that they have such a mother, that he had such a mother like you? Yeah, can he say this? Oh, mother was really a very, very great influence on me. Yes, and the kind of training that she provided me in the Lord has made me what I am today. Can she look back and say, can he look back and say, thank God for this mother of mine? Now, while I'm talking about mothers, it doesn't mean that fathers have nothing to do in the home. Fathers, you have to play a big role also. You are the pastor in the home. You are the spiritual head in the home. Now, we will talk about the role of fathers, role of the father at another time, but today is Mother's Day, so I'll talk about mother. Now, how is it that mother can be such a great influencer? How can she be? Now, she can be, as I said, because God has given her this very, very special gift, the gift of being a mother. That's why she's able to be such a great influencer. God has planted in this thing in her called the love of mother. Yes, God has planted it in her. And it is this very, very great capacity to love which brings out great responses from the children, so that this great capacity to love becomes a very, very great influence on the children. Now, when I think of the love of mother, my mind is drawn to this passage that we read earlier on, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 to 7. I won't cover every of the verses, but just a few thoughts on this, from this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity suffereth long. Now, the word charity is not what we understand it to mean today. All right, I think lots of us would know that the word charity here simply means love. It means sacrificial love. That's what charity means here. It means sacrificial love. Now, the word love in Greek has got three different meanings, all right? There's this word eros, which means physical or animal love, something that you do not find in the Word of God. There's another level of love referred to as phileo, and phileo means brotherly love or tender love, all right, phileo. And then the highest form of love is this love referred to as agape love, sacrificial love. And this is the love that is referred to when this word charity is used. So charity means sacrificial love. A mother's love for her child is very, very sacrificial. And it is shown by her being long-suffering. Now, in modern English, there is just one word for patience. And it is patience, right? We use the word patience to describe patience. But in the Word of God, as I mentioned before, in the Word of God, two words are used. One is long-suffering, and the other one is patient. Now, there is a slight difference between the two. Now, the word patient is used with reference to a relationship with things and events. Let's say you have to, let's say an event is not very, very nice, and then you have to have patience to wait for the event to be over, then you exercise patience. You have to be patient. But then if you have to live with a neighbor that is very always bickering, quarreling, and so forth, then you have to be long-suffering. All right. Now, let's say today you're caught in a lift with 6-7 other people. Then you're waiting for the lift to be restored, or the operation of the lift to be restored. What you will be doing is you will be exercising your patience. The word patience is used. But then in the meantime, while waiting for the lift, the operation of the lift to be restored, you have to stand the nonsense of 6-7 other people in the lift, right? Some will be panicking, some will be murmuring, some will be very, very angry, and so forth. You would then have to be very, very long-suffering in relating with them. So that's the fine distinction between these two words, patience and long-suffering. Now, mother is truly very, very long-suffering towards her children. True or not true? I say very, very true. Yes, mothers generally are very, very long-suffering towards her children. She nags, but does she love? Yes, she loves. But you must ask, why does she nag? I say, mother nags because of you. Yes, yes, she nags because of you. You see, you throw your socks all over the places, and after you have drunk your drink, you just leave your cup there. You don't care to bring the cup back to the sink to wash it. And then after you shower, you don't bother to hang up your towels. And you expect mother to pick after you. Would you not expect mother to nag? Of course you will nag, right? Because you cause her to nag. Then she tells you not to come home late, but you choose to come home late. And then when you come home late, you know what she does? I say she sits up to wait for you, to make sure that you arrive home safely. Isn't that love? I say that love is really very, very long-suffering. despite all your disobedience, despite all your rebellion, despite all your protest, mother still loves you. That is how long-suffering her love is. I remember, I could have told you this one. I remember my brother, yes, he was a sportsman and he actually aimed to be a great footballer, and he did become a very, very outstanding footballer. Yes, he was literally consumed by the game. But there were many, many occasions when he was badly injured in the sports field. And there was one time I remember very distinctly, he came back. He was groaning in bed the whole night in pain. You know, mother, of course, could not stand seeing her son in being in that condition. So she tried to persuade him to stop playing that game at that level. She didn't mind his playing at a lower level, but not at that level. But my brother would have none of it. He would be fuming mad when mother raised the subject. And he would shout back. And he would say this, "If I have to die in the football field, I will die in the football field." He said that. Mother could not stop him from playing football. But did mother stop loving him? No. Mother continued to love him. No, because mother's love is really very, very long-suffering. Yes, my mother's love was long-suffering. She loved him in spite of the fact that he rebelled against her will. And then here in Australia, I remember the case of this young teenager who used to abuse her mother. She used to beat her up. And there was one occasion when the beating was so bad that she broke her ribs, several of her ribs. And the authority had to take her away from her mother. And the authority actually wanted to take her away for a longer period of time. But mother said, "No, I want to have my daughter back." She simply could not part with her daughter. She was very, very prepared to take the risk of being beaten by her daughter. That was how long-suffering her love was towards her daughter. Now, all of us who are children, let us be very, very appreciative of this wonderful gift called mother. This wonderful gift from God called mother. Who can match her for her long-suffering? Who can? You think of any other person on planet Earth that can match your mother in being long-suffering? I say, hardly anyone. Isn't it very true? Hardly anyone. But friends, there is one who is even more long-suffering than mother is. There is one, and he's none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What has the world done to him? He's the creator of the whole wide universe. He is our creator, and he's our God. He owns us, and he has every right to occupy the number one position on our throne, the throne of our heart. But what did we do to him? We put him aside and we put the big self, the I, big I there on the top, on the throne. We displace him, and that's what we did. Yes. And then there are those people who would shake their fists against heaven. And they would say, "If there is a God, let him strike me dead now." They would say that. Then then there are other people who would exhibit their utter rebellion against the one true living God by their self-centeredness, selfishness, envy by their jealousy, killings, murders, wars, adulteries, thefts, and so forth. And then they say, "Why can't we do all these things? Surely we can." We do not owe anybody anything. We are not responsible to anybody. We are only responsible to ourselves. We are not accountable to anybody. We are only accountable to ourselves. And then they say, "There ain't gonna be any judgment." Why? Because there is no God. So they say, "I can do what I like." God, of course, can easily strike them down. But friends, he is so long-suffering. And he says this in his word in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is how long-suffering our God is. He desires that everyone should come to repentance. His desire is for everyone to be saved. Could not the Lord Jesus Christ have called 10,000 angels to wipe out his enemies when he was hanging on the cross? Of course he could. But on the cross, look at how long-suffering he was. He cried out to the Heavenly Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How long-suffering he is. My dear friends, this morning, if you do not know this long-suffering Savior of ours, if you have not repented from your sins, why don't you come to believe on him on this blessed day, this Mother's Day? Come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is waiting for you, my dear friends. Let's not tax his being long-suffering, because if we did so, a time might come when God might just give up on us. He might give us over to a reprobate mind, and when he has given us over to a reprobate mind, we will be totally incapable of repenting. So watch it, my dear friends. Let's not tax his being's long-suffering. Thank God with mothers. And mothers being long-suffering is a little bit like our Lord's being long-suffering. Mother is kind. Yes, love is kind. And mother's love is kind. Now, in the Word of God, we of course have got a few people who were really very kind. In the Old Testament, we have people like Abraham, we had people like Boaz. All these were very kind people. In the New Testament, we have this very kind person in the person of Barnabas, right? But friends, I dare say that one of the kindest persons recorded in the Word of God is the man referred to as the Good Samaritan in the parable told by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You remember there was that occasion when the Jew traveled from the city of Jerusalem down to the city of Jericho. And on the way, he was waylaid. He was robbed. And then he was beaten till he was half dead. And he was lying half dead on the ground. And then along came a priest. The priest was supposed to be one who was very, very kind, very, very sympathetic. But what did he do? He ignored him. He just walked on the other side of the road. Then came another religious man. A Levite. And the Levite, of course, was supposed to be very, very kind also. But he did the same thing. He just ignored him. Then along came this Samaritan. Now, we must understand that between the Samaritans and the Jews, there were no dealings at all. They were, in fact, enemies. That's how they look at one another. Enemies. But this Samaritan dismounted from his beast, from his donkey, came down, dressed the wounds of this injured Jew, and then carried him and put him on his donkey, brought him to the motel, paid his motel bills for him, and told the innkeeper, if there's any additional cost, put it to my charge. That's what he said. Now, I ask you this question. Would mother be like this priest or this Levite to you, if you were hurt? Of course, no. All right, impossible. Mother can't be like this priest or this Levite. Now, would she be like this Good Samaritan? What do you think? Your answer will be yes, like the Good Samaritan. But I dare say that your mother would do much, much better than the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan merely dressed the wounds of that injured Jew. But when mother dresses your wound, she dresses your wound with tender, loving care. Now that's the big difference, my dear friends. Yes, mother would do everything to make sure that your wounds are healed. And then there are hurtings that nobody seems to understand. If you hurt, nobody seems to understand. And very often, you see how it amazes you that the person who understands about your hurt is your mother. She understands. Other people do not, but your mother understands. Yes, and how amazing it is that she is about the only one on planet Earth that can take away your hurts. Now, I read a very, very heartwarming story about this mother and her daughter. This mother was not the biological mother of this young lady. Yes, she adopted her. She was white, but she was Asian. She was a Korean. And when this young girl reached the age of 13, she became very aware of herself. She realized that this woman that she had been calling mother was not her biological mother. So she became very self-conscious. Then at the age of 13, she also started wearing braces. And she became extremely, extremely self-conscious. And she was feeling very, very miserable. And one day, when she was feeling very, very miserable, very downhearted, and when she was not well, mother said to her, "Amy, would you like to snuggle up in bed with me?" Amy said, "All right." So she snuggled up in bed with mother, and then she felt very drowsy because of the medication that mother had given to her. Then in her drowsiness, when she was about to sleep, she said, "Mom, I know who my mom, real mom is. It is the one who takes away my hurt. You are the one who has taken away my hurt." Yes, Amy surely felt the kindness of this adoptive mother of hers. Now, I have absolutely no doubt every mom worth her salt would surely show this kind of kindness to her children. Would she not? Yes, of course. Yes, he knows that every child will know that there is sure comfort in her mother, in his or her mother. Now, we say mother's kindness is matchless. Often she is the one who is able to take the hurt away from us. True. But friends, her kindness, no matter how great it is, cannot match the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows our every hurt. He knows our feeling. He knows our every infirmity. The Word of God tells us that He is the perfect high priest. He is not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I read for you in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. The Word of God says, "For we have not an high priest," which means we really have an high priest, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." We have a high priest who can surely be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, to put it positively. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Does he know that we are hurting if we are hurt? I say he knows. Absolutely. Because he is our perfect high priest. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows our every the feeling of every infirmity. He knows, and He is perfectly sympathetic with us. And it is true, my dear friends, there is the infinitely sympathetic mom in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are hurting, my dear friends, today, go to Him in prayer. And if you have never experienced this comfort from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yet, because you do not know Him as Lord and Savior, why don't you come and trust Him as Lord and Savior today? Repent from your sins. Trust in Him as Lord and Savior. And when you are hurting, you go to Him, you will experience great comfort from Him. Then there are spiritual sores that are hurting us. What are our spiritual sores that hurt us? They are our sins, of course. They are hurting us because our sins cause us to be separated from the one true living God. And if our sins are not washed away, my dear friends, we are spiritually dead. Yes, no spiritual life at all. And the Word of God has this description of the children of Israel. They were afflicted with this kind of spiritual sores. I read for you in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." This was the condition of the children of Israel, the Jews. Their sins were very, very nauseating, very obnoxious, very stinking. They were an abomination to the one true living God. Friends, if we have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are exactly in this condition. We are filled with this kind of sores, putrefying sores, which are very, very nauseating to the one true living God. And it is these sins that separate us from the one true living God. But friends, the good news is, these stinking sores may be healed. These sins may be taken away, may be washed away. Washed away by what? Of course, by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Because our Lord was absolutely, absolutely kind. Very, very gracious and very, very kind. He shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary to take away our sins, to heal us of these terrible, stinking, filthy
spiritual source.
He says to us, he gives us this invitation. He says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This invitation is given to you today, my dear friends. If you want your putrefying sores to be healed, if you want this, your sins to be washed away, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This invitation is extended to you. He says, come, let us reason together. How kind our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Thank God. Mother's kindness has a little bit of semblance to the kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then, love seeketh not her own. In other words, love is not selfish. Mother's love is not self-centered. Mother's love is not selfish. Of course, we have heard of some mothers that are very, very self-centered, very selfish. The rich husband passed away and then left behind a huge fortune. But unfortunately, her late husband didn't write his will properly, and mother wants to have everything for herself. She doesn't want to share the fortune with her children. What's the result, my dear friends? The result is, of course, this endless contest in courts. That's the result. Such mothers, of course, are rare. But I dare say that most mothers are selfless. Most mothers are very, very sacrificial. There was this young man, a brilliant young man, who went to a well-known university. He came from a well-known family. And he was very, very well and very, very well developed physically. He was not only brains, but he was very brawny also. Brains and brawn. And he played sports well. He was a great athlete in the sports field. He was very, very brave, very courageous. He was rough and tough, but he was a person with great sportsmanship. Yes, he always played in accordance to the rules. And outside the field, he was a real gentleman. He was a model of courtesy and a model of refinement. And in his dealings with women, he was always very upright and very, very gentlemanly. And he never spoke of women and girls in vulgar terms. Never. And then when the word mother was used, yes, he would suddenly become very soft and he would become very quiet. And sometimes he would even shed tears when the word mother was mentioned. Now, why was he so rough and tough, so brave in the sports field, so upright in the sports field, and so gentle and so refined outside the sports field? Why was he like that? And he said this to his friend one day. He said, I never referred to this. I never ever met my mother, he said. While I was being born, my mother was in a very, very serious medical condition, my father told me. She overheard this conversation between the doctor and my father. The doctor said to him, I cannot save two lives. I can only save one life, mother or child. And then my mother overheard what this doctor said. And she said, let the child live and let me die. You see, mother gave her life for me. My dear friends, I dare say many a mother is like the mother of this young man, willing to give her life for her child. Yes, many a mother would dare to do that. Would be willing to do that. Mother is sacrificial. Yet, more sacrificial than mother is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave his all for us on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, he was made sin for us. He was made the sin offering for us. Yes, on the cross of Calvary, he bore our sins. He bore the punishments of our sins. He bore the judgment of our sins. All this fell on him. Instead of on us. The word of God says this in regards to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friends, let us see the mother in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted in him yet, come and trust him today. And when you have trusted in him as Lord and Savior, you'll see that mother is very long-suffering, very kind. If you trust in him, you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed very long-suffering, very kind, and very sacrificial. Now, we have more to say about the love of mother, but I don't think we have time to talk more about the love of mother. But let's ask ourselves this question. How should I treat mother? How should you treat mother, seeing that mother is so long-suffering, so kind, so sacrificial? The Word of God has this command for every one of us. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. The Word of God tells us this. Treat her well, in other words, be grateful to her. Make life easier for her by not making her work so hard. Help her with all the household chores, and don't make her worry. And then when mother is old, make sure that you take good care of her. Yes, don't say this. I'm in Australia, I leave it to the state to take care of mother. But my dear friends, assume the responsibility to take care of mother. Show your love to her by taking good care of her. And the Word of God says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, I add this word, particularly if you don't take care of mother, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you don't take care of mother when she's old, you are worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. Now the Chinese in Singapore will remember and honor father and mother when? After they pass away. So when father and mother pass away, what they do is they hold a very, very grand funeral. Yes, to honor father and mother. Yes, they will spare no expense to do that. And then they will erect a huge tomb, a beautiful tomb with beautiful tombstones, just to remember father and mother. But they didn't care to honor father and mother when they were alive. My dear friends, don't wait till mother is gone and then say, I wish I can turn the clock backwards and so that I can do for her what I failed to do when she was alive. My dear friends, when she's alive, treat her well, honor her well. A lady at a woman's meeting said this about herself. She was giving a testimony. She said this about herself. She said that when she was 10 years old, one morning at 5 a.m., mother woke her up. Mother was very, very sick at that time. Mother said, little daughter, please prepare breakfast for daddy, 5 a.m. in the morning. The little girl at the age of 10, was so tired that morning, she just turned over and then she fell asleep again. A few days later, she felt very, very bad and she apologized to mother. Mother, I'm very, very sorry that morning I didn't wake up to prepare breakfast for daddy. I should have done it, but I didn't. Mother said, it's all right, I understand. Mothers always do that. Yes, it's all right, I understand. Then shortly after that, mother passed away. Then this lady said, to this day, how I wish I could wind the clock backwards to do for mother what I didn't do that morning. Yes. My dear friends, don't wait till the day mother has passed away then you say, I wish I could do this, could do this for her. I wish I could have done this for her. I wish I could have done that for her. Don't wait till that day. But do it now, my dear friends. Yes, when she is alive. And if mother is not a believer yet, on this Mother's Day, give her the best gift. Give her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if she comes and trusts Jesus as Lord and Savior, you would have given her the best gift. You would have introduced her to this thing called everlasting life. My dear friends, she would have gotten it. And then there will be this blessed hope of your meeting with her again someday, if she comes to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes. So on this Mother's Day, I encourage you not just to buy some gifts for mother, but show her your love by making a very, very great and special effort to show her the way of salvation. And friends, if you are not a believer yet, I say you can do something very, very good for mother today. Come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you have come and trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and if you fear the Lord and you obey the Lord, I guarantee you 100% that you will be a better son and a better daughter than you are now, than when you are not a believer. So why don't you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today and show to mom that you are a better son and a better daughter? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift known as Mother. Lord, we thank you for her, thank you for her kindness, thank you for her love. Thank you, O Lord God, that she has been so long-suffering. Thank you, O Lord, that she has been so sacrificial. Teach us, O Lord God, that we may be very appreciative of Mother. And we pray that we may not wait till the day she passes away, then we honor her. But today, while there is time yet, when she is still alive, we pray that we may show her the honor and the love that are due to her. Give us that special grace, O Lord, we pray thee. And if we are, and we pray for those who are still not believers in you yet, who want to be better sons and better daughters, Lord, we pray that you will cause them to come to trust in you as Lord and Savior. Because we know that if their relationship with you is right, if they fear you, they will surely be that son or that daughter that you would want him or her to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.